Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
We want to give God the glory this morning for giving us this privilege to be alive and to be here. And we thank God for his faithfulness all the days of our lives. I pray that we continue to enjoy the goodness of God in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for all you have done for us. Thank you for giving us this wonderful time, this unique time to come before the presence of God. Father, we thank you how you have started with us. We thank you for all you have done for us throughout this week. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness, for your goodness, for your mercy, and for your love. We thank you for your provision. We thank you for your protection. We thank you for the fulfillment of all your promises in our lives. We come to say thank you. We come to appreciate you. We come to give you praises. Accept our thanks and praises in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Father, as we go into your word, we pray that you will speak to our heart by your spirit in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Father, I pray that every single one of us will speak to us in the language that we can understand in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Father, I pray that every hearers of this word, Father, you will minister to us yourself in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Lord Almighty, I ask that today, in the mighty name of Jesus, you will inspire us by your word in Jesus' name.
Amen.
We pray by the time we finish this service today, our life will never remain the same in Jesus' name.
Amen.
We thank you, Father, because we will be a better Christian. We'll be a better servant of yours.
Amen.
And we'll be a better people to our community in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Jesus.
In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed.
Amen.
In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed.
Amen.
By the special grace of God, today we will be looking at the topic I have titled, Created to Do Good Works. Created to do good works. And we are reading from the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, we quickly read from verse 6 to verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2, from verse 6 to 10. And God raised up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms, in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages, he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourself, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. May the Lord bless the reading of his word in Jesus' name.
Amen.
For us as children of God and as Christians all over the nations of the world, this period we are in is a peculiar time. It's a period that we look for or toward. This period of the time, up to the point of Easter, it has been declared by Christians as a Lent time. A Lent time, a time that we seek the face of God. And during this period, many Orthodox churches have declared 40 days of fasting. Many things are expected from Christians during this fasting period. And God himself expects many things for us as well. There are many things that God is expecting from us during fasting period. Not only during the Lent time, but each day of our lives, there are things that God wants us to do. There are things that God expected from us. And particularly during fasting, there are things that God expects from us. And when we look at the book of Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, chapter 58, we will quickly read some from verses 6 to 7. Isaiah chapter 58 from verse 6 to 7. Here the Bible, I mean God was saying, telling his people the type of fast that he has chosen. And if, let me just read from verse 5. Isaiah 58 from verse 5. Is this the kind of fast I have chosen? Only a day for people to humble themselves? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying in sack and ashes? Is that what you call a fast? A day acceptable to the Lord? And verse 6. Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke. Verse 7. Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them, and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. So here, God was telling the Israelites the kind of fast that he approves, the kind of fast, or what he expects them to be doing during the time of their fasting. And when we look at all those things, when we look at it one by one, the Bible tells us in that book of Isaiah chapter 58 verse 6, one of the things that God mentioned there is to loose the chains of injustice. The acceptable fast unto God is to loose the chains of injustice. Number two, to untie the cords of the yoke. And number three, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke. And number four, to share your food with the hungry. Number five, to provide shelter to the poor. And number six, to clothe the wicked. There are so many things we can take from that scripture. But when we look at all these things that God mentioned there, all these expectations are good works required by God. Not only during the fasting period, but on a daily basis. These are the kind of things that God expects from us as children of God, to do good works, to loose the chains of injustice, to untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke, to share our food with the hungry, to provide shelter to the poor, and to clothe the naked. All of these are good things that God expects from us on a daily basis. And when we look at the book of Genesis, we see that God created us in his own image. The Bible tells us in the book of Genesis chapter 1 verse 27, Genesis 1, 27, it said, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. So God created us in his own image, and we know our God is a good God. So that we can exhibit his characters and attributes, which is good, which is to do good work. So when God created us, he decided to create us in his own image. And when God has created us in his own image, what God did was he put his spirit inside of us so that we can do what he is capable of doing. And we know our God is a good God. Because when we read further from that scripture, the Bible tells us that God blessed man. In verse 28, he said, God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the heart and subdue it. So God gave man dominion. God gave them the power. He gave them everything that he had. So God expects us as human beings, as his children, to continue to do good, to continue to walk in his step, as God himself is a good God. God gave us dominion. He gave us power. He gave us ability to rule. And the Bible tells us in verse 31 of that scripture, verse 31 of Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says, God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. So, if God has created something that is good, it means that God is a good God. So, a good God created things that are good. The Bible says, everything he created, not only good, the Bible says it was very good. It was very good, including us, human beings. God created us in his own image so that we can do good works. So, if everything that God created was good, it means God is a good God. God is a good God. Today, many of us, we cannot see God as a good God because we sometimes question God about what is happening today in the world. Some we ask, if we say God is a good God, why does he allow something and something to happen? But from the scripture, we know our God is a good God. And he has given us power to do good things. Now, when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, the original power to do good left them. They were not able to act the way God wanted them to act, because sin has now came into their life, and wickedness occupied the heart of man. And since that time, man has been living in a way that is contrary to the will of God. And when we look at the Bible, after Adam and Eve had sinned, we saw that the wickedness of man was great on the surface of the earth. When we read the book of Genesis chapter 4, the Bible says the wickedness of man was great on the surface of the earth. And it displeases God that he has created man in his own image. But we thank God, who is still good God, who is a good God. God did something. God sent Jesus to die for the sins of man and to restore man back to the original state. God decided to send his only begotten son to the world to die for us, to take away our sin, and to restore us back to the original state, which was to do good. And this is what Paul was telling the Ephesian Christian in our reading today. If we started reading from verse 1 of Ephesians chapter 2, Paul was telling them some of the things where they were before and what God has done for them. And from there, he was telling them many other things and what God has done. And that is what brought us to the scripture that we read in the book of Ephesians. So at our own time, we can read Ephesians chapter 2 from verses 1. So Paul was reminding them that we are saved by grace, and that we should extend this grace to all mankind. By extending this grace to all mankind, we are doing good. That is doing good. So Paul was reminding the Ephesian Christian, that you are not saved by the work of your hands. You are not saved because you are good. That you are not saved because you are perfect. But we are saved by the grace of God through faith. Paul went on to remind the Christians that we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. That is what he says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Ephesians 2, verse 10. It says, verse 10 says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So this is what God created us to do. This is what God wants us to do as believers, as Christians, as people of God. God created us in Christ Jesus to do good works. If we are created in Christ Jesus, it means we should be doing what Christ came to do in the world. If we are created in the image of God, and if we are created in Christ Jesus, this means we should be doing what Christ came to do in the world, and that is to do good. The Bible tells us in the book of John, John chapter 10, verse 10, John 10, 10. The Bible says, the thief comes not, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Another scripture will say that they may have it in abundance. So Jesus came to do good. Jesus came to reverse what the enemy is doing. The Bible says the devil comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That is the mission of the devil. That is the mission of the devil. That is the mission of the enemy. But Christ Jesus came to reverse that mission. And Jesus came to give us life and to give it, to give us in abundance, to give it to the full measure of his power. So that is what Christ has done for us. And that is what God expects us to do. In Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 5, from verse 44 to 45, Matthew chapter 5, from verse 44 to 45, the Bible says, Jesus was telling the people that were listening to him here. He said, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father in heaven. That you may be the children of your Father in heaven. What Christ was saying here is this, that if we do good to our enemies and those who persecute us, we shall be demonstrating that we are the son of our Father in heaven. We shall be demonstrating that we are indeed the children of our Father. And one commentator put it this way. Said, these good works are valid evidence that someone is working as one of God's chosen. It says, these good works that we talk about are valid evidence that someone is working as God's chosen one. So if we are doing this good work, it is an evidence that we are children of God. When Jesus was on the surface of the earth, the Bible tells us he was always doing good. Acts 10:38 tells us that Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. So when Jesus was on the surface of the earth, the Bible tells us he was going about, he was going around doing good and healing all manner of sicknesses, of diseases. So that is the good work that God expects from us as people of God, as children of God. And God has given us this power. And when we go to the book of Isaiah, we can see it in the book of Isaiah, but I want us to read it from the book of Luke. Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Luke 4, 18. Jesus, when he got to the temple, he was giving what I will call Bible today. It was not Bible at that time. It was a scroll where the word of God was written. So Jesus said in verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free. And verse 19, therefore, Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always. I think that's another scripture. That's not first. That's the same Luke. Thank you. So here we can see what Jesus came to the world to do. What Jesus came to the world to do. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to proclaim good news to the poor, and so on and so forth. And this is repeated in the book of Isaiah, chapter 61, from verses 1 to 2 or to 3. Isaiah 61, from verses 1 to 3. So we can see the same message there. And the same message God is giving us today. The same message God is giving us today. And in the next few minutes that we have, I want to share 7 important good works we are expected to do as Christians. 7 important good works we are expected to do as children of God. 7 important good works we are expected to do as children of God. We are taking that from the scripture that we've just read. Number 1, from that scripture, Luke chapter 4, verses 18, or Isaiah chapter 61, from verses 1 to 3. Again, when we look at that scripture, can we go back to the book of Luke chapter 4, verse 18? Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, and he has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free. When we look at that, and when we compare it to what we have read in the book of Isaiah chapter 58, Isaiah 58 from verses 6 to 7, we can see the correlations between them. In Isaiah 58, when God was talking about the kind of fast that he has chosen, he said, to loose the chains of injustice, to untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke, to share your food with the hungry, to provide shelter to the poor, to clothe the naked. If we look at that, we can see similarity between them. So during fasting, while we are not fasting, these are God's expectation of us as Christians. And we will look at those 7 important good works that God expects us to do. And I want to say that God empowers us to do good works through the Holy Spirit, as we have read before in the book of Acts chapter 10, verse 38, when God anointed Christ Jesus of Nazareth with Holy Ghost and with power. So we can only do good works through the Holy Spirit, through the power of God. And there are many good works we are expected to do. There are many good works that God expected us to do. And number 1 is to proclaim good news to the poor. To proclaim good news to the poor. And this is what Jesus was saying in the book of Matthew 28, 19 to 20. Matthew 28, 19 to 20. Matthew 28, 19 to 20. It was, this is when Jesus was going to the Father, and he was giving this great commission. He said to the disciple, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the end of the age. So God wants us to go out and proclaim good news to the poor. That is the first good works that God, the good work that God is expecting from us. Because if we see people who are perishing and we are not ready to bring them to the kingdom of Christ Jesus, we are saying to them that whatever happened to them, we don't care. Preaching to them, telling them about good news is the best gift you can give to anybody. Because that is where there is life. That is where we get life. Without Jesus, there is no life. Jesus himself said, "In me, you will have life." In the book of John chapter 6. It is only in Jesus that there is life. He said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me." So in Jesus, we have life. And because of this, it is our duty to go out there and proclaim good news to the poor. Number two, to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. There are many people today who are prisoners. Prisoners in the hands of the enemy. There are some people today who are prisoners to drugs. Many are prisoners to sexual immorality. Many are prisoners to the desire of their flesh. Many are prisoners even to the powers of the enemy. And God is saying to us that we should go out and proclaim freedom for them. That is the good work that God is expecting from us. People of God, we cannot just sit down and fold our hands and see people doing the wrong thing and we fail to tell them and we fail to let them know the best way to live their lives. And these people, we cannot blame them. We cannot blame them because they are doing what they know best. Because as we have read before, Satan is the father of all evils. And his aim is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And so he wants to destroy the life of as many people as are not walking in the line and in the way of God. So it is our duty to go and proclaim freedom to them. Number three is to proclaim recovery of sight for the blind. To proclaim the recovery of sight for the blind. If we read Luke chapter 4, verse 40, the Bible tells us there, some of the things that Jesus did while he was on earth, Luke chapter 4, verse 20. Luke chapter 4, verse 40. The Bible tells us that they brought, at the evening time, they brought many people that were sick of diverse sicknesses, and they brought them to Jesus. The Bible says Jesus healed all of them. He healed all of them. They brought to him the blind, Jesus healed them. They brought to him people with leprosy, Jesus healed them. So verse 40 says, at sunset, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kind of sicknesses, and laying his hand on each one, he healed them. Moreover, demons came out of many people, shouting, "You are the Son of God," but he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak because they knew he was the Messiah, the man that has come to deliver, to save. So they brought many to him, and he healed them. And they all went home rejoicing because they have been set free. So it is our duty as children of God to proclaim recovery of sight to the blind, to the people who are sick, Number four good work that God is expecting from us is to set the oppressed free. To set the oppressed free. Mark chapter 1, verse 34. The book of Mark, chapter 1, verse 34. Mark 1, verse 34. Jesus also, in the same manner, was going about there, doing great works, doing marvelous work, doing the work of his Father. Mark chapter 1, verse 34. The Bible says, and Jesus, I will start from verse 32, said that evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all who were healed and demon possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons. That is what Jesus was doing. He was going about doing good, healing all manner of sicknesses, delivered they were oppressed of the enemy because God was with him. So it is our duty to set the oppressed free. Number four, it is our duty to proclaim the years of the Lord's favor. Isaiah 61, Isaiah 61, verse 1. Isaiah 61, verse 1. It is our duty to proclaim, said, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. We've looked at that. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. It is our duty to go out and proclaim the years of the Lord's favor to his people. When people are confused, when people think there is no peace, when people think there is no joy again, it is our duty to tell them that this is the year of the Lord's favor. And the Lord will favor us, and will favor our lands in Jesus' name. God is still in the business of doing all these great works. And although Jesus is not here with us today, but he has given us this power to go and do what he did before he left. And number six, good work that God has given us in the book of Isaiah that we just read. He said, he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Many people's heart are broken today. Many people's heart are broken today because of the situation in which they find themselves. Many people's heart are broken today because of the economic situation. Many people's heart are broken today because of the issues they are fighting in their lives. Sickness, disease. So many things are going on in the heart of the people today that causes for a broken hearted. Many have lost their loved ones as a result of many things. It could be due to sickness. It could be due to war. It could be due to anything. God is giving us that power to bind up the brokenhearted. Do you know somebody today that his heart is broken? God wants you to go there and do that good works and speak life to them. Speak the word of God to them. Bind their brokenhearted. If people come to us with issues, we are not just to say, oh, sorry. No, that is not what God is expecting us to do. God is expecting us to bind the brokenhearted. If somebody sick and goes to hospital, doctor will not just say, oh, I'm sorry. They will try to fix what has gone wrong in the life of that person. They will try to bind it up. They will try to find solution to it. And God, that is what God is expecting us or expecting from us as his own people. We are to bind up the brokenhearted. And number seven from the book of Isaiah, chapter 2, Isaiah chapter 61, verse 2 and 3. Isaiah 61, 2 and 3 said, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to comfort all who mourn, and provide for those who grieve in Zion. To comfort those who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion. As children of God, this is our duty. This is what God has called us to do. People are mourning. There's mourning everywhere. And it is our duty to do good works. It is our duty to meet the needs of these people. It is our duty to see that God heal them. It is our duty to ensure that the power of God do these wonders in their lives. God has given us this authority. He has given us this power to do it, to do this great work. He said, behold, in the book of Matthew that we read earlier, said, I have given you this authority. I have given you this power. Go out and do what I have done. Jesus himself said, he said, what I have done, greater thing you will do. What I have done, greater things you will do. So we have the power to do all that Jesus did while he was on the earth, because the power has been given to us by God through his own spirit. As we go this week, I just want to remind us again that God created us to do good works to all mankind, irrespective of who they are, because Jesus died for everyone. So God has given us the power. He has created us to do good works. The power and the authority has been given to us. As we go this week, let us think about those that need our help. Let us think about those that we can do good to. Let us think about how we can do good to everyone that comes our way. God will bring so many people across our way this week. It is our duty to help them. It is our duty to support them. It is our duty to bring hope to their life. Philippians chapter 4, as we close, Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. We will read that scripture, then we will pray. Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 to 9. Philippians chapter 4, from verses 8 to 9. The Bible says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So as we go this week, think about those things that are pure, that are noble, that are right, that are good, that are praiseworthy. And in verse 9 it says, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. As we go this week, whatever we've learned from God, whatever we've learned from the word of God, the scripture is encouraging us to put them into practice, to go out and do the same and do likewise. That is what God is commanding us to do this week. And I pray that as we go, heaven will go with us in Jesus' name. Amen. We must not see ourselves as small. Let's go with the power of God. Let's go and demonstrate the power that God has given to us. Let's go out and do good work. And particularly in this period where Christians are fasting and looking toward the Easter period, Jesus came so that everyone may have life. Jesus came so that they can receive the gospel of Jesus. And as we go, the Almighty God will bless us. Amen. He will give us the grace to obey and to do all that is has commanded us in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
The Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, and the Lord continue to watch over you in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
The power to do good, I release it upon you today in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You will go this week and you will demonstrate the excellent Spirit of God that is in you in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
As you go this week, through you, miracle will be wrought in the life of people in Jesus' name.
Amen.
As we go this week, the hand of Jehovah will be upon us to do mighty works for him in Jesus' name.
Amen.
This week, there shall be testimony in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
God will answer our prayers in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I pray that as you go this week, Jehovah will go with you. He will support you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You will never be put to shame. In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
To him alone be the glory.
Amen.
Forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.